Good evening. For those of you who are with us this morning, you'll recall that I mentioned how we would be using tonight's service to provide a report from my trip to the nation of Zambia, and I pray that our congregation will be greatly encouraged by hearing how the Lord is working in that part of the world. I've told a few people that it's hard for me to say that I'm more excited to share a ministry report than I am to preach the Word of God, but nevertheless, I am very, very excited tonight to be able to share with you some of the highlights of my time in that part of the world for just under 3 weeks' time. So I pray that though tonight will not be featuring a sermon per se, it will nevertheless be a time of great spiritual encouragement for all of us as we behold God's faithfulness to work in other parts of the world to redeem a people by His Son, for His Son, and for His own glory, that will join us in that great heavenly chorus of praising the Lamb who was slain for our salvation. But before we get into the details of the ministry report that I have for us this evening, I want to invite you to join me in turning in your copy of the Scripture to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. This will be a biblical text to meditate on at the outset of what I'll be sharing over the next several minutes. We know from both the Old and New Testaments that God has a heart for the nations. We know that God is flawlessly redeeming an elect people from every tribe, tongue, and nation until the last day. And as we find in this particular psalm, that we have a vivid reminder of these realities. We have a further solidification of why believers like us should prioritize global missions as well as international ministries that are faithful to the Word of God. So really what I did over those 2.5 weeks or so overseas is rooted in a desire to see this text come to bear in my life as a Christian and really in our life as a congregation, that we'd be a congregation who joins in the cause of the triune God to see a tribe of redeemed sinners from all the nations coming to worship their God. And not just to worship their God as God, but to worship their God as their Redeemer, as their Savior. Let us read together Psalm 67 with these truths in mind. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing thereafter, and then we'll turn our attention to the report that I've prepared for us tonight. So Psalm 67, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. My brothers and sisters, these are the words of the living God. May He write their eternal truths upon our hearts as we behold how the Great Commission is being carried out even by faithful brethren in the nation of Zambia as it is being carried out here in SeaTac, Washington. Let's pray together. We'll turn our attention to the report. Our Father in heaven, You have certainly blessed Your people. You have certainly intended for the blessings that we have received to be a catalyst for blessing the lives of others. And we know, Lord God, that this primarily encompasses the context where You have called us to live on a daily basis. We know that we are a people that You have redeemed, that You have saved, that You have reconciled to Yourself right here in the Pacific Northwest. But Father, we know, as our brother has mentioned in the time of leading us in worship, that Your kingdom is far greater. It's far more expansive than what is taking place here in Seattle, Washington. And even that of which is taking place in 2026. Father, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And by the work of the Holy Spirit drawing elect sinners to saving faith in Jesus Christ at the appointed time. Your kingdom is one that cannot be numbered. It is one that encompasses every tribe and tongue and nation. And God, we cannot wait until that great day where we behold that innumerable mass of blood-bought saints singing praises to their God and their Savior, cherishing the communion that we have in Christ. Father, use this ministry report and times such as this to set our minds and hearts upon the age to come, where our experience with the church will not be localized, it will not merely be a small sliver of the greater reality, but that we will enjoy fellowship even with the brethren who we will see in pictures on this screen, and so many others, Father, who we will never meet in this life, but nevertheless we are united together in a common salvation. Encourage us greatly, Father, now as we turn our attention to this ministry report. And would it be a motivation to us individually to pray for the work that you are doing in Zambia and other parts of the world? And would it be a motivation for our church to continue to press on in faithfulness to the ways that we are supporting global missions? Thank you, Father, for giving us the resources that we have that we can be a blessing to the nations. And that you would use those resources to further your kingdom, to save sinners for your glory and for their spiritual good in Christ. We love you so much, Father, for how you have shown us immeasurable kindness in the gospel of our Savior. We pray all of this in His name and for His sake. Amen. Well, as we transition into my PowerPoint presentation, allow me just to reiterate my gratitude for everybody who took the time to pray for my travels and to pray for my girls who were with my in-laws in Florida while I was away. This was the longest amount of time that we have ever been apart. So I'm so thankful for how the Lord used your prayers and the prayers of our family to enable all of us to travel safely and to come home safely, even at the end of what was about a three-week time of being out of town, and in my case, being out of the country. This is the furthest distance that I've ever been away from home. So I praise God that He has brought me home safely. Nevertheless, I'm grateful for the time away, but even more grateful to be reunited with loved ones here in SeaTac. So as you can see, this Zambia ministry report encompasses the dates of January 22nd to February 12th, 2026. And as we move to the next slide of this presentation, you get an idea of the size of the nation of Zambia relative to the continent of Africa and even relative to a particular part of the United States, namely over there on the eastern part of our country along the Atlantic Ocean, over in the states of Tennessee and Kentucky, the Carolinas, bits and pieces of Alabama and Georgia there as well, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania. You see how the nation's shape would fit into that part of our country. And it's funny that despite knowing about Vodi Vakum, Ronald Kalafungwa, Conrad Mbewe, and a number of other ministers and ministries in Zambia, I honestly couldn't have told you anything about this nation prior to agreeing to take this trip. I don't even think I would have been able to identify Zambia on a map of Africa if somebody would have asked me to do so prior to making this trip. So if you're like me, hopefully the visual aid will give you a general idea of where I was as to and as well as how this country looked from a size standpoint. And after this trip, I will say that I'm proud that I now not only know what it looks like, but I also know what it is like. And I hope and pray for more opportunities to go back and minister down in that part of the world in future years. But as far as what Zambia is like, as far as what we could say are some fast facts about this nation, Zambia currently has a population of approximately 19 million people. And this nation actually formally identifies itself as a Christian nation. If you were here prior to me taking my trip down there, I devoted a whole sermon that really went into the weeds of why I think that terminology is problematic to use. But nevertheless, that terminology is used in Zambia, and it has created a true openness to the things of God, which in God's mysterious providence has allowed the gospel to go forth with great power and with great effectiveness in our day. Zambia is amongst the poorest countries in the world. 64.3% of the population lived on less than $2.15 a day, according to statistics compiled as recently as 2022. So that comes out to about 12 million people who are living on about $2 a day. Put that into perspective when you think that you've got it bad here in America. We are an immensely blessed people when compared to those who reside in the nation of Zambia. Now, Zambia's extensive impoverishment has resulted in significant health and lifestyle challenges, such as the following concerning details. Approximately 14% of Zambians reportedly have HIV. Approximately 40% of Zambians lack access to clean drinking water. And the average life expectancy for Zambians is only 53 years. So I'm well over halfway there. Now, and when you put it into perspective, 53 years, it goes by like that. So we should be thankful again for in God's common grace. He's given us so much medical and technological resources to glean from that we can maximize our time on this earth. Now, sadly, because of those alarming statistics that we see on the screen, The dire living conditions and really the broader cultural receptivity to Christianity, it's led to the rampant spread of charismatic theology and of the health, wealth, and prosperity movement. And unfortunately, because of how dire the circumstances are in this country, there have been a myriad of wicked men and wicked women who've come from wealthier parts of the world, much like our own, and they've preyed on the Zambian natives so that they might take advantage of them while being in the midst of great poverty. So for the typical Zambian, they would be willing to do just about anything to live a better life. And they see these wealthy foreigners come into their country in the name of Christianity, and for many Zambians, they just assume that they have good intentions, and they'll do whatever it takes. They'll listen to whatever they have to say, they'll do whatever they need to do to have something of the kind of life that representative of Christianity has. And unfortunately, these people do not have the Zambians' best interests at heart, and they are anything but faithful representatives of the Christian faith. These Zambians give to these teachers out of their poverty. They blindly follow them with hopes that God would give them a better life, and ordinarily those desires do not come to pass. In fact, according to the typical charismatic teacher and the typical prosperity teacher in Zambia, the reason why these individuals aren't receiving the healing or the prosperity or the wealth that they desire is because they just lack the necessary faith to receive those realities. According to this rhetoric, as I'm told from those who are ministering down there and native to Zambia, God has done everything He can. God's done His part. And now He's simply waiting for them to return the favor by exercising a stronger faith to obtain their desired blessings. So these are the rampant teachings that one will find throughout much of Africa. And this causes there to be a great need for faithful believers and faithful churches to boldly confront such heretical beliefs head on and to then point their neighbors to the truth of God's Word as they do so. And what's interesting, this is something that I heard from one of the pastors up in Ndola, the northern part of the nation of Zambia, in what they call the Copper Belt region. The first church that I had the privilege of preaching at, and you'll see the pastor here in a few moments and some pictures that I'll share with you. He mentioned that in other parts of Africa, those who are hostile towards Christians, they actually are not hostile ordinarily to those who are entrenched and the charismatic movement, and the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, because they see that as a business. They don't see the charismatic movement or the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers as a threat to Islam or to whatever it is that's motivating those people that are hostile to Christianity, because they recognize that that movement cannot genuinely change lives. It's all a facade. It's not a risk to their false religion or to their way of life. But when men of God in churches adhere to sound biblical doctrine and proclaim the full counsel of God's Word and the power of the Spirit, they recognize that's a threat, because lives are transformed by the true gospel and by the true Word of God being faithfully proclaimed. So what an interesting testimony that the Muslims that are native to that land and other groups that are hostile to Christianity in that part of the world, they'll say, hey, we'll keep the charismatics and we'll keep the prosperity theology people because they're really not a threat. They're really just a business down here like any other business is. But let's get rid of the true Bible-believing Christians and the Bible-preaching Christians because they're a threat to us. Very interesting insight. Now, a few examples of poverty that you'll see. Just some pictures that I took while down there gives you an idea of just what is replete in this part of the world. Now, see some familiar faces there on the screen. A blast from the past in terms of both of those pictures. Our dear brothers, Pastor Jim and Pastor Austin Walker and Dr. Waldron, they've aged a little bit since those pictures were taken. But praise be to God that He's proven Himself faithful to meet the needs that is most great, that's most greatly needed in this part of the world. That He's provided faithful teachers, men of God, who will proclaim the full counsel of the Word of God. And we find that the Reformed Baptist movement has widely spread throughout the nation of Zambia. I made a comment today during lunch that I really think there's truth in the statement that the Reformed Baptist movement internationally really finds its apex. It really finds its centerpiece there in the nation of Zambia. To combat the proliferation of false doctrine and to reach the nation of Zambia with the full counsel of God's Word, there's been a number of biblical and theological educational centers established over the past 20 years. Perhaps the three that stand out the most are the African Christian University, which is located in Lusaka, Zambia. If you're familiar with Vodi Bakum, you'll know that he was instrumental in really getting that ministry solidified to the place that it is today. Lusaka Ministerial College, also located in Lusaka, Zambia, one of the two institutions that I was at during this trip. They are one of those prominent biblical and theological educational centers that God has raised up within the last 20 years. And the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College, located in Ndola, Zambia, at the northernmost part of the nation, the Copperbelt region. Each of these institutions have strategic partnerships with Reformed Baptist churches around the world, and especially within the United States. In fact, it was through our church's tie to Grace Emanuel Reformed Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that I was able to receive the invitation to go to Zambia in the first place. And you just see a couple of our common connections represented in these pictures. I believe the picture of Pastor Jim and Pastor Austin Walker came from right during that first inaugural class that the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College had about 19 years ago. So that's Pastor Jim almost two full decades ago. And there's others too, names that I could cite that have been in this pulpit and that our church holds near and dear in our hearts that have labored in those institutions. I'll just give you a few that stand out amongst the rest. Brian Borgman, Mark Chansky, Alan Dunn, Steve Hoffmeyer, Dave Merrick, of course, Jim Sebastio and Sam Waldron, and Austin Walker and Jeremy Walker, men who are stalwarts for the faith. And I count it a tremendous privilege to have been able to have my name in that long line of godly men who have gone before us to the nation of Zambia and hopefully have paved a way of faithfulness for the younger generations like myself to follow through by the grace of God. As more ministers come from America and other parts of the world to put their hand to the plow and educate these Zambian pastors and missionaries who are part of these institutions. Now, the first leg of the trip was in Ndola, Zambia. I was in Ndola, Zambia from January 22nd to January 31st of that inaugural month of 2026. I spent the 19th to the 21st of January at my in-laws' house in Florida, just making final prep for this trip and allowing my wife and daughters to be able to settle in with my in-laws. And I began making the trek to Zambia officially on the evening of January 22nd. I would officially arrive to the city of Ndola on the afternoon of January 24th, going on to spend the next 7 days in that part of the country. And I've got my travel itinerary listed there on the screen. You'll note that it took me approximately 40 hours time from the moment that I left my in-law's house to the time that I got to the hotel there in Ndola. So I won't read you the itemized breakdown of that itinerary. I trust you can see it on the screen for yourself. A few pictures of me there on the airplane on my way from Atlanta, Georgia to Johannesburg, South Africa, and a few pictures of me eating and working on one of my lectures there in a lounge at the Johannesburg airport. Now, I'll say this, it was pretty eerie spending the night in a foreign airport. It's interesting that from about midnight to 5 a.m., they turn off all the music and they turn off all the automated remarks that are made throughout the course of the airport, so you could have heard a pin drop as I was sitting in that lounge, and it was just me and the person at the front desk for a handful of hours there. So you really have it hit home that I am 10,000 miles away from my family. Nobody here knows me. If something goes wrong, I'm probably heading home to glory or something. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But God was kind to allow me to have a smooth 15-hour layover and then make it to Ndola. Lodging and hospitality. You'll get an overview here of the hospitality and lodging conditions that I had in Ndola. The picture on the bottom right hand of the screen is me with the administrator of the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College, a man by the name of Katongo, a faithful brother who handles all of the administration needs of that institution. He works with pastors and with churches and even with seminaries here and the United States to coordinate instructors who can go down and lecture at the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College, as I was able to do. And I really enjoyed getting to know him. As you can see, the institution did a great job of hosting me comfortably here. You'll note some of the food that I was able to eat. This was a standard day of what I would eat in Ndola for dinner and for breakfast. The picture there in the middle is some sort of chicken stir fry with rice. The one on the bottom right hand corner there is just what they call a full English breakfast. They have a couple of eggs, some not pork bacon, but some sort of bacon, I'm told. I'm not entirely sure what the source was on that, but it was bacon of some sort. You'll see some sausage links as well, a little bit of cereal, a little bit of yogurt, some bread. It was just enough to sustain me while I was away. Here's some more straightforward Zambian dishes that I was able to enjoy while I was over in Ndola. You'll notice there's some rice, some beans, some meat, a lot of veggies here, some chicken. The one in the bottom middle part of this slide came from what's basically the equivalent of like a Popeyes or a KFC here in America. They call it the Hungry Lion. So my sweet mate and I were able to enjoy some of that during our time in Ndola. And there's some more meals that I was able to eat, including a time at a restaurant there in Ndola on our last evening. Now, you'll notice there towards the left-hand side of the screen at the bottom, looks like a lot of little minnows, and that's exactly what that is. It's called kapinta. And it's basically a little minnow-like fish that they fry. And my sweet mate told me that it was like the best Zambian dish you could ever have and that I just had to have it. And I should have caught on that there was something off when he did not order it and recommended that I eat it. But nevertheless, I tried to be a good sport, and I ate the kapinta, and I ate the whole plate. And it wasn't exactly at the top of my list of favorite dishes, but I got to experience a little bit of some native Zambian food, and I come to find out that he didn't even make it through the first quarter when he went down for his first trip to Zambia. So I had him beat on being able to weather that storm of eating the kapinta. Now, my co-teacher or sweet mate that I mentioned in Indola was Dr. Chad Bennett. And on top of the terrific hospitality that I was shown in Indola, I would have to say that maybe the most enjoyable aspect of this trip was getting to establish a new friendship with Dr. Bennett that I trust will last a lifetime. He was a dear, dear brother to me and really a help as I transitioned into a new part of the world for my first real time leaving the United States. He calls Zambia his home away from home. This is his fourth time in Zambia, and certainly will not be his last if the Lord wills. I think he's already scheduled to go back in 2027. So it was really cool getting to meet him. As you see on the screen, Dr. Bennett, Chad Bennett, he's one of the pastors of Grace Community Church in St. Cloud, Florida. He's a prominent figure in the Reformed Baptist Network. He's been in pastoral ministry for over 15 years now. And his course in Zambia was on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, or the more technical term being pneumatology. So it was a tremendous blessing actually getting to sit in his lectures. I joked with him that I actually came all the way to Zambia to study abroad. I never got to study abroad as a college student or as a seminarian, so I got to do that in his course. So what a privilege it was to be able to sit in his course on the Holy Spirit, and really even to see the ways that his course and my course overlapped at several points without us even trying to coordinate it in advance. So God was kind to allow us to reinforce some really foundational subjects that we covered in each of our respective classes. And we joked with the administrator, Katongo, that he and I now were a package deal. So if we ever go down to Zambia and there's a need for a second teacher, either for him or for me, we want to go together because we had such a great time. Moving on now to ministry assignments. Although the primary purpose for my trip to Zambia was to lecture to seminary students, I was also grateful to have several opportunities to preach around my responsibilities within the classroom. So I arrived in Indola on January 24th, and the next day was the Lord's Day. And with the arrival of the Lord's Day, I had the privilege of preaching the morning and afternoon services at Grace Reformed Baptist Church. This congregation recently celebrated its 30th anniversary since constituting under the pastoral leadership of Kabwe Kabwe, yes, that is his name, Kabwe Kabwe, and Twandi Mpazi. The Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville has supported this church in the work of the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College, which is hosted on the campus of this congregation now for quite some time. So it was a joy to be able to worship with those brothers and sisters. That's pictures of me preaching, me with Pastor Kabwe and Pastor Twandi there. The bottom right-hand picture, bottom right-hand part of that screen. Some more pictures of the church building. You'll see the sanctuary there at the bottom of the screen, as well as the outside part of the building and the driveway that leads into Grace Reformed Baptist Church. Now, as we transition into the main purpose of my time being in Indola, you'll see that you'll see that my time was spent primarily in the classroom. My class was on a survey of Christian apologetics. It was intended to be a supplemental course to the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit class that Dr. Chad Bennett was able to teach during that same time. So the way that the average day would work is that there was a period of 20 classroom hours that I had to devote for my lectures and that Pastor Chad Bennett had to devote for his lecture. So a total of 40 hours cumulatively that these students would spend, 20 hours devoted to apologetics, 20 hours devoted to pneumatology. And we would alternate days where one of us would give our lectures in the morning and the other would give the lectures in the afternoon and then switch the following day. And as you can imagine, it was best to do your lectures in the morning because the afternoon sessions would be pretty difficult for us to endure, not only due to the fact that there was no air conditioning on campus, but also due to the fact that everybody's stomach was filled with the delicious Zambian cuisines that we were able to eat during the lunch break. So, whoever got the morning lectures did not typically have students falling asleep. I don't know if it was due to boredom or due to the food, but the morning times tended to be a little bit better in terms of the students having attention to the material that was being presented. And as you'll note from the slides, if you really want to count, you can count there. But there was anywhere from 13 to 15 students present for our lectures at Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College. And all of the students were either currently serving in the ministry as a pastor, or they are desiring to go into the ministry, and their church has actually sent them to Copperbelt in order to study. So all of these men have been vetted and affirmed by a local church body. And one of the cool things about every class is at the beginning of the day, they would start the class with a devotional that was prepared and presented by one of the students, followed by a time of prayer. And as one who has been in seminary for a number of years, where prayer is often, nobody would say this out loud, but in practice, during my time in seminary, prayer was often kind of an afterthought. There were certainly never any devotionals prior to classes that I had. What I saw here in this institution was an equal desire not only to grow in the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of doctrine and theology and those sorts of things, but also a sincere desire to be marked by true piety and to be reminded that we are men of God before we are seminarians or even pastors for that matter. So I was very impressed by the intentionality to model that careful balance between piety and theology. Moving on now to a couple of the highlights with these students. You can probably imagine if I've chosen to include them on this PowerPoint slide, there's likely a story behind them. The student that's with me there on the far left, his name is Simon Patio. He's a pastor serving in Tanzania. He came all the way from Tanzania to Zambia to sit in both Chad's class and my class during this week. And during the week that we were there in Ndola. And one of the reasons why I chose to single him out is not only because he came from a great distance to study with us, but he was also unlawfully put in jail for a couple of months due to living out his faith as a pastor in Tanzania. And this brother reportedly used his time in jail to share the gospel with his inmates that he was there in jail with, and even the prison guards as well. So Simon, he came from a long ways to study with us. He knew firsthand what it meant to suffer the consequences for publicly living out his faith in a country that is a little bit hostile or more hostile to the truth of God. And it just so happens he was also one of the best students in the class. So Simon made a great impact on me. We exchanged contact information. He would routinely check in on me throughout my time in Lusaka and my time coming back to make sure I made it home safely. So I was very encouraged by that brother. Picture on the far right of the screen with me and Chad, there's a brother by the name of Charles Kapumba. And Brother Charles is a pastor in the far northeastern province of Zambia. That's not, to my knowledge, have the same resources that Simon and his church was able to have. So he actually drove a very long ways to be a part of this class. The roads, as you can imagine, in this part of the world are not anything like the roads that we have here. So you're talking about huge potholes, talking about wildlife in some places, all kinds of pandemonium that can ensue when you're traveling hundreds of kilometers across the nation. But that brother was so devoted and dedicated to being a part of these courses that he was willing to drive literally from the other side of the country just to be here for the week. So what a privilege it was to get to know him, in addition to the other students that we had in this class, and to get a class picture. This was our class in Ndola. You'll notice me and Pastor Chad, we look a little different than the men represented there in that picture, and we looked very different from virtually everybody that we saw in the country. But what a unity we had in Christ and in our doctrine, and I had a delightful time with each of those men in Ndola. You'll notice in this picture here, this slide here rather, there's a few extra pictures of the living quarters where the students stay at when they commute into the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College. You'll see their living room there. You'll see a frontal view of the house, or what they call the lodge, for the students. You'll see their kind of dining room area and the little bed space there as well. So the cool thing about Copper Belt is they actually have a place where you can stay as a student, and you don't have to go to a hotel or deal with any of those logistical needs. All the meals are provided for the students by some of the women there of Grace Reformed Baptist Church. A really good hospitality shown to those students. And then there is there's the transition picture from Indola to Lusaka. You see, I look a little bit concerned there, getting on a plane that felt like a paper airplane, making the trip down from Indola to Lusaka, only about a 45-minute flight. But definitely one that was memorable for more reasons than one. Definitely the smallest plane I've ever been on, but God was kind to get us safely from the top part of the country down to the south. Chad and I, we would see each other one more time after arriving to Lusaka. He came by the hotel and spent the afternoon with me before flying back to the States, but we would largely go our separate ways once we arrived to Lusaka. And that brings us to the second leg of the trip, which was in Lusaka, Zambia, from January 31st to February the 8th. You'll notice the lodging and hospitality continued to be exceptional here in this part of the country. This was at the Nomads Court Lodge, where they had me staying, and typically Lusaka Ministerial College will have all of their speakers stay at this particular hotel. You'll notice a little bit more American food that I was able to enjoy in Lusaka than in Indola, though there was some traditional Zambian dishes as well that I was able to enjoy on this leg of the trip. The brother in the middle two pictures, his name is Victor Musale. He's an accountant by trade, so he serves his church about 2 hours away from Lusaka as a lay elder. And I really hit it off with this brother. He loved to read, he loved to study theology, and he had a very unique ability to digest and understand and even articulate dense theological truth. So we hit it off, getting to spend time. Because he's an accountant, he has a couple of memberships at two of the nicest restaurants in Lusaka, so he was gracious to take me out to dinner on a couple of occasions there and enjoy some buffet-style meals together. You'll notice this next slide as well. Some more fellowship I had. Of course, Chad there with me in the middle at a pizza place in Lusaka. The other two brothers on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll notice Pastor Chipita Sabale. He's one of the associate pastors of Kolbwata Baptist Church, which, of course, Pastor Conrad Mbewe serves as the primary preaching pastor there. And then Francis Kaunda, the administrator of African Christian University there, taking me to the Hungry Lion in Lusaka for a great time of fellowship down in Lusaka. Now, I arrived to Lusaka on a Saturday, so like Indola, I get to my destination, and then within just a matter of hours, I'm back in the pulpit. On the following Lord's Day, I had the privilege of preaching at two congregations. On February the 1st, the morning service, I preached at Mount Makulu Baptist Church. I was also asked to deliver a men's Bible study to discuss principles of godly masculinity with the men of that congregation. So in God's providence, having taught in the book of Titus here at ERBC, I was able to use some of those insights from that study to provide exhortations and instruction to the men of Mount Makulu, and hopefully facilitate an edifying Bible study. You'll see us there in the round table or the circle discussion outside their church building. That's their pastors that you'll see with me there at the bottom of the screen. Mount Makulu regularly exceeds 150 attendees for corporate worship on the Lord's Day, so a fairly decent-sized congregation. I failed to mention back at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, they do upwards of 200 there in Indola. So a couple of larger-sized Reformed Baptist congregations there in the nation of Zambia. And what's interesting is Mount Makulu has had the opportunity to host a number of prominent Reformed speakers, Reformed Baptists and Reformed broadly, whether referring to Joel Beakey or others who are more of a Paedo-Baptist persuasion. Pastor Jeff Smith from Coconut Creek, Florida, has also preached in their church as well. So there's a few commonalities there with men that have preached at ERBC and men that we hold in the highest esteem. Also, you'll note there in the top right-hand part of this next slide that there is an African version of the Trinity hymnal, you could say. There's kind of a trademarked hymnal that's used by Reformed Baptists there in the nation of Zambia. You'll see the Grace Hymns supplement and the Grace Hymnal there in the top right-hand corner of the slide. And then, of course, picture the outside part of the building of Mount Makulu Baptist Church and the sanctuary as well. And then another picture from behind the pulpit. Now, following the morning service at Mount Makulu Baptist Church, I was then tasked with preaching the afternoon service at Kabwata Baptist Church, which is on the complete other side of Lusaka. For those of you who are not already familiar with this church, whose legacy largely precedes it, under the leadership of Dr. Conrad Mbewe, Kabwata Baptist Church, I think I mentioned a few moments ago, they planted one Reformed Baptist church, at least one Reformed Baptist church, in every Zambian province. And this congregation has really been a bastion for Reformed Baptist theology for the past 40 years. Dr. Vodi Bakum was involved in their ministry as well, to my knowledge, while he was living in Zambia for the years that he was located down there. And although Pastor Mbewe was out of the country while I was preaching at his church and while I was in Zambia, I was grateful to receive his well wishes and to be able to text and fellowship with him a little bit, hopefully meet him in person someday. But what a privilege it was to be able to preach at a church that God has used so mightily in that part of the world and even beyond, with Dr. Conrad Mbewe's ministry expanding all around the world in many like-minded circles to ours. Now, this series of pictures that you'll see on this next slide, each of these individuals has a story behind them. The woman there, the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, she is the oldest member of Kabwata Baptist Church. I don't mean oldest in terms of her age. I mean oldest in terms of her being there at the very beginning. She's been a member of Kabwata Baptist Church from the day they constituted 40 years ago now. So she was at the service. Had to get a picture with her. I was honored to meet her. Pastor Charles Boda, right there in the middle. He's one of the elders at Kabwata Baptist Church and was my ride to and from the hotel. We had a great time of fellowship and really appreciated getting to meet him and hope to stay in touch with him in the years to come. And then right down here, bottom right-hand side, a college student at African Christian University who also goes to Kabwata Baptist Church. If you can believe it, he actually happens to listen to the Covenant podcast despite being on the other side of the world. So it was only right to get a picture with him and was grateful to see his zeal for the things of God at such a young age. Another picture there of Kabwata Baptist Church, their missionary board, and then their core values. Again, despite being on the other side of the world, we would affirm each of these core values at ERBC: biblical authority, a God-honoring church, Christ-likeness, joyful discipleship, every member involvement, strong Christian families, and world evangelization. So thankful for the ministry of Kabwata Baptist Church and to have been a part of that during my time in Lusaka, to be a part of their worship during my time at Lusaka. Now, speaking of the Covenant podcast, one of the highlights of the trip was being able to record a Covenant podcast episode with Kyle Davis on the work that the Lord is doing with him through Bible Translation Fellowship, and not only to record the episode with him, with our church supporting him and the ministry that he's doing with BTF, but to record that episode while being on the same continent. That was pretty cool. It was a joy to connect with Kyle toward the end of last year, and you'd be interested to learn that there are currently discussions in play for him to develop some classes on Bible translation with CBTS, as well as another seminary that has not been publicized just yet, but a seminary that we would be largely like-minded with. So Kyle's work is gaining traction in the academy, and I trust will be useful to students who were able to take that class. And Kyle specifically asked me to extend greetings on his behalf and to thank you all for the prayers and the support that we've shown to him as a church. Now, during my time in Lusaka, I was entrusted with teaching the students. This was my primary purpose in going to Lusaka, to teach the students of Lusaka Ministerial College the same class on Christian apologetics that was delivered at the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College in Indola. The Lusaka Ministerial College is hosted on the campus of Emmisdale Baptist Church, which was formerly a daughter church of Lusaka Baptist Church, which is currently pastored by Ronald Kalafungwa. It's the largest Reformed Baptist church in the nation of Zambia. I'm told they do close to 1,000 on a Sunday morning service, and that the church is just flourishing in every respect of ministry under Pastor Kalafungwa's leadership. Now, due to added time constraints, this course was condensed to a total of 16 cumulative classroom hours as opposed to the 20, and it was spread apart over the course of 5 days. Now, unfortunately, due to the size of the course and the layout of the course, I didn't have quite as much time to connect with the students in Lusaka as I did in Indola. There was about 46 men enrolled in this course at the Lusaka Ministerial College, which put a little bit of limitations on my ability to engage with the students at a more personal level. But what engagements I did have, what interactions I did have, I was greatly encouraged by them. Here's a picture of Emmisdale Baptist Church. Get an idea of where I was and where the Lusaka Ministerial College is hosted. You'll see that blue 10-looking building there. That is actually the library of the seminary. You go in there and you'll have rows of books that you can find there. From a student standpoint, you can go and check out books for your classes. Some pictures of the week. You'll see the sanctuary from the pulpit, or at least near the pulpit. A couple pictures of me teaching, a couple students taking notes, and then a group of us out taking a picture together in the lot next door. This was a very cool souvenir that I was able to take from my time in Lusaka. The college was gracious in giving me a little piece of Zambia to take home with me, and I look forward to finding a good spot for that on the wall of my study at home. That's me with Francis Kaunda in the red shirt, the administrator for Lusaka Ministerial College, and then Benson. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but the dear brother who was really the coordinator in making sure that my entire week was lined up there during my time in Lusaka, from the people who would pick me up for a speaking engagement to churches that I would preach at, even coordinating down to my ability to get back to the airport to catch my flight out of the country. That is the class, or at least most of the class. It's funny, we had about 46 students enrolled in the class, but as you can imagine, not everybody was there at any given time. So this was on the last day, a group of us outside there taking a class picture in the lot next door to the building. Now, this is kind of a cool keepsake for my time at Lusaka Ministerial College. This is some of the feedback that I received from a student who took the class. And though there was encouraging notes that were given by other students in the class, this stood out for a couple of reasons. On the one hand, this feedback came from a brother who's not currently enrolled in... I accidentally clicked forward. This feedback came from a brother who's not currently enrolled in, active, I should say, in pastoral ministry. So he's a layperson, and he's actually currently serving in the secular arena as a lawyer. That's his vocation. And serving his local church faithfully as a member. And also, it just so happened that this brother's handwriting was some of the easiest to read. So I put it there. I'll read the excerpt for you, just if you're towards the back and you can't make out what it says. The prompt for this particular question is at the end of their final exam, at the end of the week. It says, "Describe how this course has helped you grow in your understanding of Christian apologetics, and explain how you desire to apply the contents of this course to your everyday Christian life/ministry. Here's what he wrote. "This course has granted me a broad overview and understanding of apologetics and how Christianity must not shy away from responding to intellectual criticism. I now have an understanding of how to respond to the question of why Christianity by using a number of apologetic methods, most especially presuppositional apologetics. As a lawyer, I do not see my work life as being mutually exclusive from my Christian life. I look forward to addressing clients in need of legal representation as fellow image bearers of Christ who reason as rational human beings. For that reason, this course allowed me to better understand how I can defend the Christian faith before unbelievers and other religious movements in confidence of God's saving grace for all of humanity. So this was a godly man, not even a pastor, but he takes courses at the Lusaka Ministerial College so he can be better equipped to serve Christ in his home and the workplace environment which God has appointed him to labor and in his local church as well. So this brother, really, he should be a motivation to us all that we would all continue to advance in our knowledge of the Scripture and to continue to pursue a greater love for Christ regardless of where God has called us and what God has called us to do. Whether you're a pastor or a stay-at-home mother or a banker or a lawyer or a doctor or whatever your vocation is, you can use your time, talent, and treasure to pursue deeper walk with the Lord. And may we all be found faithful to advancing in that desire. Now, after preaching at Kabata Baptist Church and teaching at Lusaka Ministerial College, I was grateful to be able to tour the campus of African Christian University. The administrator, Francis, was gracious to give me a personal tour of this campus on February the 6th. And it was a joy to actually see the institution that I'd heard so much about through the ministry of Odi Bakum and Conrad and Bayway over the years, and so many faithful brothers who've gone over there to teach and to lecture over the years. Many of the Reformed Baptist pastors in the greater Lusaka area are also adjunct faculty members at African Christian University. So there's a deep Reformed Baptist heritage in a Christian institution that's not just geared for pastors or for aspiring pastors and missionaries, but just for anybody who wants to go and receive a quality education from a distinctly Christian worldview. And I believe this institution is in great hands as they continue under the leadership of Dr. Conrad and Bayway and other faithful faculty members and administrators. So here's a few pictures of the campus. The top left-hand corner, that's where they have their largest classes for lectures. When they have a guest come in, ordinarily they'll go do the lectures in that part of the campus. You'll see their library there, bottom left-hand picture on the screen. A few buildings there on the right-hand part of the screen. Some samples of their classrooms. And if you've ever been to college, you've probably had a little bit nicer educational environment than what you'll find here on the screen. And what's significant about this institution is not that it has a lot of money or the most fancy bells and whistles, but that it's got faithful men and women who teach the students the truth of God's Word and the truth of other disciplines from a Christian worldview. And frankly, there was a peace being on that campus, being tucked away from the hustle and bustle of Lusaka, a quiet little area, not the best of resources available as far as infrastructure is concerned, but just a hunger and a thirst for the truth of God and to honor God through a solid education. This picture is a couple of the students that I encountered. The brother on the far left-hand side, or I should say on the left-hand picture, but the brother who's in the blue shirt next to me, he is actually a missionary who was studying at African Christian University. So it was good to meet him. I told him that I was a missionary of sorts as well from America, but my mission was a lot shorter than his because that brother is planning to devote his life to the mission field, and I was on a mission trip, you could say, for a couple of weeks. So we had a good laugh about that. Now, after wrapping up a busy week at the Lusaka Ministerial College and being able to tour the African Christian University and engage with some of the native Zambian pastors and students that I had the privilege of engaging with during my stay in Lusaka, the week came to a conclusion by me preaching at two more churches on the Lord's Day, Chongwe Baptist Church in the morning of February the 8th being the first. You'll see their church building, that is their church building, featured in these pictures. And this congregation is beginning to outgrow its current building. They have a building project in store. You'll notice the foundation's been laid in the bottom right-hand picture. And you'll notice the bottom left-hand picture. Those are the buildings where the Sunday school classes are held at Chongwe Baptist Church. So, a church that literally to go to worship in the summer months, you're going to be hot, you're going to be sweaty, They have no voice amplification. They literally meet in a structure that has no walls. They have a tin roof and concrete little barriers that kind of forms a rectangular sanctuary. And if it's raining, which there is a rainy season in Zambia, they don't cancel worship because of the rain. They sit and get drenched as they worship the living God as a family of faith. That is how seriously they take the worship of God in this culture. And you'll notice their officers, their pastors, and their deacons there in the top middle picture. Pastor Arthur Puri, I had the joy of getting to have lunch with him and fellowship with him and be able to build a friendship with him, a young pastor who is striving to faithfully shepherd this church in the rural outskirts of Lusaka. This church, I believe, was planted by Lusaka Baptist Church. So a relatively newer church, but a church that is beginning to grow and develop there on the outskirts of Lusaka. And then the final ministry of the word that I had the privilege of delivering there in Lusaka was an apologetics-themed lecture on the campus of the University of Lusaka. Most of these attendees were college-age students affiliated with Silverest Central Baptist Church, pastored by Million Kambuli. And I was amazed by the intellectual rigor that these young people showed in asking questions that are common challenges to the faith. Even in a Christian nation, you'll find many of the same objections to Christianity being posed at the intellectual level here as you'll find in the United States. Questions about evolution, about the Big Bang, questions about the nature and character of God. How can a good God allow evil and suffering to go about in the world despite Him being all-powerful and all-sovereign? You name it, you've heard the objection here in America. They've got the same objections right there in Lusaka. So what a privilege it was to be able to answer some of those questions and to equip those young people with some tools that they can use to defend their faith and to defend the full counsel of God's Word. Pastor Million and I there in the bottom right-hand corner. Picture the lecture hall, bottom left-hand corner. A little bit nicer facilities at the University of Lusaka in comparison to African Christian University. And at the top, you'll see the group of young adults and college-age students that I was able to minister to at the University of Lusaka. Now, all good things must come to an end. And I was so thankful to be in Zambia. I had over 40 speaking engagements in a 2.5-week period of time. My heart was full, but my body was exhausted. So I was very eager after that last speaking engagement at the University of Lusaka to begin the third leg of the trip home, and it took a while to get back home. You'll see my itemized travel itinerary right there on the far side of the screen, a cumulative amount of 86.5 hours, give or take, to get back home, to get from the airport in Lusaka, really from the hotel in Lusaka to the airport, and then all the way to Orlando, following what amounted to about a 27-hour layover in Dubai, and then the next day flying from Orlando back to SeaTac. So it was a crazy journey back home. I was grateful to be able to have some time to work on this report on the lengthy flights and the layovers that I had. Praise God for good airport lounges. I am definitely a soft American in comparison to our Zambian brothers and sisters who were willing to go and sit out in the rain and the heat. And I was cooling my heels in a nice airport lounge in Dubai. So, I'm not as tough as I might look when I have my beard, in case you were wondering. And I'll just say this, it is a wonder how our brothers will make these kinds of trips in their 7th and 8th decades of life. Now, Conrad and Mbewe, apparently, he goes on all these international trips, and unless he has points or unless somebody buys it for him, he never flies first class. He flies economy. So brothers like that who do this, and they're tough, and they're tenacious, and they're willing to put their body through the ringer to teach the full counsel of God's Word far and wide. So it's a great challenge to me as a young man, 31, to suck it up and deal with a little bit of the discomfort on this trip. But that brings us to the close of this lecture. What's next? Where do we go from here? What are some takeaways that we can have from this presentation, from the broader time that I had in Zambia? Well, I would just say a few items that stand out. Please pray for the sustainability of the Copperbelt Christian Ministerial College, Lusaka Ministerial College, and African Christian University, and specifically through financial support. As we know, in a fallen world, one of the greatest limiting factors or one of the greatest hindrances can be a lack of financial resources. So we need to pray that God would continue to raise up those who would support this ministry, or I should say this collection of ministries, for many years to come. And we need to be praying for the continued flourishing of the Reformed Baptist movement in Zambia, despite all of the challenges that are raised by prosperity theology and charismatic theology as well. God has been pleased to bless the Reformed Baptist movement in this part of the world. It's wonderful to see the open-mindedness to truths that in our neck of the woods here in the United States of America, there's almost kind of like a holding at arm's length talks about the sovereignty of God, and much less talks about confessionalism. Whereas in Zambia, there's a real open-mindedness to the deep truths of God, because they see the surface-level stuff. They recognize that it has no power to save or to transform lives. So they want something more. So pray that the Reformed Baptist movement would continue to flourish to that end in this part of our world. Thirdly, pray for the current Reformed Baptist churches in Zambia to remain faithful, that they would be characterized by sound doctrine, godly living, and a genuine unity as they labor together and as they experience numerical growth, that they wouldn't compromise on those foundational tenets of the faith that have gotten into this place, and that the surrounding communities that they are ministering in would know that they are Christ's disciples by their love and their zeal for the truth. And then pray for our elders that we would have wisdom and discerning how we can, from afar, pray for and perhaps even support and partner with some of the ministries that we've been introduced to in this brief presentation. I can't think of a better way to end our time together tonight than with the following doxology. Really, it's a declaration of confidence from the Apostle Paul right there in Ephesians 3. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The reason why the Reformed Baptist movement is doing what it's doing over there is not because Dr. Mbewe is so great or Dr. Vodi Bakum was so great. They are great men, and they are gifted men, but it's because God has shown His favor upon faithful men such as them and many others that we don't even know the names of. He's upholding them and sustaining them to press on, that He might, through their meager efforts, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. If God's doing that in Zambia, I trust that He could do the same right here at SeaTac. So may we be faithful to labor as we think about our other brothers and sisters who are laboring faithfully where God has called them to serve at such a time as this. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and your attention to this presentation. Allow me to close with a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we cannot help but echo the words of the Apostle Paul as we marvel over your power and your wisdom to do abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Lord, what a comfort it is, what an encouragement it is to know that you are building your kingdom, that Christ is building His church in Seattle, Washington, in Zambia, Africa, and in all the ends of the world. And that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. Lord God, help us as Christians and as Reformed Baptists to cling to these truths with firm conviction, that we would be faithful in life and in doctrine. And Father, that we'd be greatly encouraged by the report of what you were doing in other parts of the world, such as what we have seen very briefly tonight from this report from the nation of Zambia. Father, sustain our brothers and our sisters in that part of the world. Keep them from all forms of waywardness. Keep them faithful to sound doctrine and to godly living and to Christ-exalting forms of worship. Provide those who have extensive financial resources, who believe in the cause, who will support them and pray for them. And Father, that you might use all of those earthly means to continue this great work that you have begun 10,000 miles from where we currently reside. Father, we pray you would save many in Zambia. We pray for those who are saved that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And we pray, Father, that we would do our part to encourage and support and partner with them, whether it be through financial giving, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through sending men and women over there as opportunities arise, whatever the case might be, Father, give us wisdom to know how we can support this great work that you're doing, even as they may support the work that you're doing here in the States. And as we come to the end of this Lord's Day, Father, we do pray that we will have been greatly encouraged by all that we've considered today about the necessity of good works, thinking rightly about good works in the Christian life as the fruit or evidence of salvation, thinking about the primacy of prioritizing the local church, that we would be a people firmly committed to the means of grace and to this local church family that you've called us to. And Father, that we would be a people zealous for the Great Commission, eager to pray and to labor unto the end that Christ would be magnified in all ends of the earth. May that propel us into a week of faithful living and hearts that are overflowing with worship to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.